Chapter 67. "You found," Dorian gasps, reaching out to steady himself on stitches, "her off mechanism." Cullen raises an eyebrow, turns around, and reaches across the gap between tables to touch the base of her skull with his thumb, lightly pressing against the small indentation there. The entire table watches Llewellyn's hands drop mid-conversation, and her face returns to its default, vaguely confused and mostly curious expression. "Andraste's flaming sword," Krem says, eyebrows slowly climbing up his face. "I'm tempted to call blood magic here. As a Teventer, I feel as I have the authority to do that." Cullen removes his thumb and Llewellyn's hands spring up and her mouth resumes talking at a few thousand words per second as she chatters at Dalish about something or other. It's a lot of elven, hand gestures and giggling. No one's exactly sure what they're talking about, and no one is going to ask. Chances are they'll lie anyway. "How did you do it?" Rocky asks. "Because I'm pretty sure everyone's been trying to figure that one out since day one, and I had placed my bets on kissing her." "No one would kiss her," Stitches points out. "I know, but I figured that if no one was gonna do it, then no one would know if it was right or not. And if nothing else worked, I'd win by default," Rocky says. "I owe the chief 30 fucking gold sovereigns and an entire cask. An entire bloody cask. Of the good stuff," he said. "Shouldn't have bet against the chief," Krem snorts. "That's just what you deserve."
"Can we go back to the point where we found the Inquisitor's off mechanism?" Dorian says. "I'm feeling lightheaded. It's like learning that, I don't know, bears can walk on two legs and then seeing one. In theory, you know they could. But then to see it actually happen makes you think you've run straight into a wall and killed yourself or knocked your brain out of your ear."
"How small is your brain that it can get knocked out of the ear?" Dorian glares.
"If you weren't always wearing armor, I would kick you right now."
"That's probably why I always wear the armor," Krem replies. "Probably. Or I just feel safer in it," Krem shrugs. "I'm not telling."
"A man of mystery," Stitches says. "And bullshit."
"I think this is something we ought not to be spreading," Cullen says. "That Krem is a man of mystery and bullshit? Because that one is a little too late. I mean, anyone could see that one from leagues away," Rocky says, dodging a swat upside the head.
"I meant the Inquisitor's, off switch," Cullen says.
"He's got a point. If everyone knew, then it'd be a vulnerability. Also, it's fun watching people get run roughshod by her. People that are not me," Stitches says. Grim grunts in agreement, making eye contact with each of them before getting up for a refill. "Also, it probably takes someone special, as in someone she knows, to even be able to touch said switch."
"She knows half of Skyhold's entire family histories by heart," Cullen says. "She writes my sister letters every month. She's got a better rapport with my family than I do."
"Us," Dorian snorts. "Stitches means us, as in we. The people of her so-called inner circle are probably the only ones who can get to said off mechanism unscathed. Also, if it makes you feel better, she's apparently built a rapport with the King of Ferelden. I'm completely certain there is no one in Thedas who's safe from her wiles."
Llewellyn is playing with buttons, idly sorting them out in various different ways, pushing buttons along the stone floor into little piles and rows. No single button has stayed in the same pile or row for more than 5 minutes, so at this point, Josephine is fairly certain that it's more of a game than an actual attempt at sorting buttons.
"May I ask where you got so many buttons, Your Worship?"
"Krem gave them to me," she replies. "When he was making the nugs, he uses buttons for eyes, I think they're charming. Can you imagine having buttons for eyes, Josephine? It's a little strange and a lot scary, but mostly I think it's cute on the little nugs he made. He said he'd make me a Mabari one if I could get the Iron Bull to have a tea party with me. How do you think I'd go about that? I don't think the Iron Bull likes tea very much. I don't even like tea very much.
If you asked him, I'm sure he would do it for you, Josephine says, and she wonders where Krem got all the buttons. She imagines the man carrying an entire bag of buttons with him everywhere, and quickly banishes the thought before she can laugh and completely lose it.
This button reminds me of you, Llewellyn says, pushing up onto her knees and shuffling her way over to Josephine's desk. Her long fingers gently place a deep blue button on her desk, in a square of light from the window. It's a deep inky blue and shimmers, revealing glints of gold and pink and cream in it. It's very fancy, but it's also very calming. I like looking at it in the sunlight. I have a lot of buttons that remind me of you, but this button is the one that reminds me of you most.
Josephine smiles, picking up the button, running the pad of her thumb over it. It's smooth, warm from Llewellyn's hand. It feels like lacquer. It's very beautiful. I think a nug would be very happy to have this button as his eye, Josephine says. Llewellyn laughs, going back to her rows and piles of buttons.
You should have that one, Llewellyn says.
But it reminds you of me. I don't need a reminder of me, Josephine replies, standing up, stretching her back and arms as she takes in a breath. Do you have one that reminds you of you? I'd rather have that one.
Llewellyn hums, turning her gaze down to the buttons. I don't know. They all remind me of other people. Not me, she says, poking at the piles and rows.
Josephine goes over to sit next to her on the floor, bowing her head next to Llewellyn's to inspect the buttons. She realizes, now, that there are an exact number of piles of buttons to correspond to her number of close friends.
What about this one? Josephine says, pointing at a very small button, creamy yellow and white, with a streak of golden brown running through it.
It sits between a pile of fancy gold buttons with filigree and crests, and wooden or deep-colored buttons.
I don't know about that one yet, Llewellyn says. It's too soft to be Vivian, but it's too warm to be Haren.
Could I have that one? Josephine asks. It's the one that reminds me of you most.
Llewellyn picks up the button, seems to weigh it in her palm. She looks very serious as she stares at it before nodding and handing it to Josephine. Okay, you can take that button for me, and I'll take the blue button for you.
She's sleeping, Cassandra says, not looking up from her book when she hears the stair creak. And her fever is the same as it was 10 minutes ago when Cole came by.
Yeah, I figured, Bull says. Still want to check on her anyways. Good reading, Seeker?
Cassandra throws a glare at him, and he grins, raising his hands before sobering as his eyes flick to the small, curled-up lump on the bed.
All of Skyhold is going to go crazy without her, Bull says, sitting at the foot of the bed. I don't think people realized just how much she grew on them until now. The day just isn't complete if you don't see an elf running around carrying something strange or dropping down from the ceiling.
Skyhold is, due to its high ceilings and stone walls, good with sound. Sound carries, it echoes, it magnifies. It is not a quiet castle. People are constantly in and out. Fires are always being stoked, started, stopped. Wind whistles through unrepaired walls and windows, rattles the sharp chains of chandeliers and glass window panes. Chairs scrape, minstrels sing, nobles rustle and whisper and argue through the hallways. Birds coo and chirp, mothers and sisters chant and offer advice. Soldiers march and drill, and there are even the sounds of children. Doors open and close, squeaking or scraping against the floor. Steel rings out as the blacksmiths work. Pages rustle as scholars and dignitaries work to build the Inquisition's base of power. Skyhold is never quiet. But somehow, it feels that way, without the Inquisitor adding her own noise to the mechanism of Skyhold. By all rights, any sound she makes, so young, so small, should be swallowed up by the other yawning sounds. But they aren't. They stand out. Cassandra taps the spine of the book on her knee, finger holding her place. She will be better, sooner or later. Skyhold seems to hold its breath, all of the normally loud sounds muted and hushed, moving on tiptoe, while waiting for her Inquisitor's health to recover.
Yeah, Bull says. We all know. She's a stubborn and hardy kid. Just quiet in the meantime. She fills up a lot of space for someone so tiny.
She makes space, Cassandra replies.
That too, Bull agrees. Are you doing all right up here, Seeker? You could switch out. I know Dorian and Sarah are both dying a little on the inside to get in here.
Cassandra snorts. That's why I'm not letting them in. Too much excitement. I just got her to sleep.